Hey everybody, Mark Ashton coming to you on July 7th with yet another accelerator to help explain what we've read in Isaiah 22, 27, 32, and 33 today. Now, for this accelerator, if you're one of those people who likes to listen to the accelerator first and then read the passage, you'd be smart to read the passage first today and then listen to the accelerator, because it explains a bunch of stuff that won't make sense unless you've read the passage. Well, here in what we've read today is the alternative to the situation described in chapters 30 and 31 that we commented on yesterday. The false counsel depicted reliance upon Egypt as Judah's only hope. Crooked rulers made their plans in secret and sought ways to foist those plans onto the public. And here, God, the God who will have delivered them from Assyria, is depicted as the true source of righteous rule. The thought in the two chapters moves through four stages. Stage one describes the nature of the leadership and the effects stemming from it in 32 verses 1 through 8. The second, stage two, explains what is the fundamental ingredient for the kind of leadership God says ought to exist to really exist. God's Spirit, that's 32 verses 9 through 20. The third makes this necessity of divine intervention even more explicit, stating that Judah is helpless without him. That's chapter 33, verses 1 through 16. And finally, in a more emotional segment, the author envisions the day when Jehovah rules over a serene and quiet land delivered from all her enemies, 33, 17 through 24. That's an overview of chapter 32 and 33. And in typical Isaiah fashion. However, I want to focus on Isaiah 22 today and these two fun characters who give us some key lessons in leadership. Our reading concluded with an excerpt from Isaiah 22. Here we see a comparison of two men, Shebna and Eliakim, who are both proven as poor substitutes for the Lord's leadership. As we learned yesterday and were reminded of today, Isaiah is making the case that it's better to trust the Lord than in other nations. In this brief prophecy in chapter 22, Isaiah is taking his point from the national level down to the individual level. It's better to trust in the Lord than it is to trust in a powerful leader. That includes the leader of your business, the leader of your government, even the leader of your church. It's always better to trust the Lord. Well, let's look at these two guys. Shebna, a man in charge of the palace, appears to be a little bit too big for his britches. Did you catch what he was doing with his gravesite? I mean, not only did he carve his own tomb, but he set it on the height, meaning in a lofty place. It's as if Shebna was saying, "Yo, look at me, everyone. Check out my cool tomb. I made it for myself. I was the king's right-hand man. I had beautiful chariots. I may be dead, but nobody's going to forget about me because my tomb is in the high place." Shebna was all about making a name for himself even after his death. What a train wreck. How does God respond to him? Well, first, God asks, "Who gave you permission to do this?" In other words, "Shebna, who do you think you are? You're not fooling anyone." Uh-oh, folks. God is about to set it off. And then, with language that paints a scene from an animated superhero film, Isaiah warns Shebna of his problem. "Beware, the Lord is about to take hold of you firmly and hurl you away," he says. "You mighty man, he will roll you up tightly like a ball and throw you in a large country." Can you see God doing that? Rolling Shebna up in a little ball and then, pew, shooting him off to a foreign country. That's the picture. God Almighty handling this self-proclaimed hero as if he's a wad of scrap paper, launched off effortlessly into the trash can. Score! And if that wasn't enough, the Lord punctuates Shebna's grim fate with even more humiliation. He strips Shebna of his authoritative clothing and gives it to a worthy servant named Eliakim. Quote, "I will clothe him with your robe and fashion your sash around him and hand your authority over him." Ouch. Talk about having a bad day. Well, reading on further, we learn that Eliakim is given the key to the house of David. The key symbolized the authority to make binding decisions in the interest of the king. He's also said to be a peg and a seat of honor in the house of his father. Just as tent pegs were used to hold a tent firm in place, so was Eliakim supposed to hold the kingdom firm. In addition, the seat of honor could be described as a throne of glory for his father. Eliakim's prophecy sounds good so far, doesn't it? However, the bright future for him and his reign doesn't last long. The Lord closes with a picture of the collapse of Eliakim's rule. Symbolically, we see the phrase, "the peg gives way," shows some kind of an internal weakness on his part, coupled with the shearing off as an external action from the nation around him. Not only was he proven inadequate, but the people around ended up opposing him. In short, I believe that the Lord was driving home the point that no matter how worthy someone is in leadership, he still can't be trusted more than God himself. Both men, Shebna and Eliakim, were prophesied to let God's people down. Shebna, being a self-sufficient, self-promoting leader, bore the consequence of his own pride. Eliakim, a leader deserving of his position, still possessed weaknesses and couldn't be depended on above God. Well, in closing, this passage offers us some good reminders when it comes to looking at our own character and the character of leaders. First of all, don't be self-promoting. You know, that whole passage reminds me of the injunction that Jesus gave when he was sitting at a dinner party, where he said, "Don't pick a seat that's higher than the one that you deserve. If you do, you'll be humiliated by your host when he moves you down a few seats. Instead, pick a place of humility and let God promote you. Let the host promote you." Romans chapter 12 says it this way: "We're not to think of ourselves more highly than we should, but instead with sober judgment." We need to remember that any earthly success that we experience is not of ourselves, nor should we exalt ourselves because of it. Second, even people with incredible character will fail others and be a disappointment at times. All throughout Scripture, we're shown that it's better to trust in the Lord than in man, in a position or material gain. Even the most godly leader you know may let you down. Like Eliakim, they may become a peg that gives way. God is the only sure foundation, the only rock that we can depend on. Let's take these lessons from Isaiah and keep God in the rightful place in our hearts.